Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And as we look this morning into the perfect law of liberty, let that light shine in our hearts and give understanding to us concerning this great and important topic in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, right away, the subject of forgiveness is the underlining premise even behind the message of the gospel. Because that is it. I mean, if the Lord didn't plan our forgiveness, we'll be all lost. And if the Lord didn't forgive us, we'd be all lost. And we saw how the Lord came, and even his prayer, even when he was on the cross, still saying, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do, and so on and so forth. I would touch briefly on that. I would touch on bitterness. Bitterness can be, the way it is used in the scriptures, it would be many different ways. But there's one aspect I want to cover. Sometimes there's bitterness of the soul, not bitterness against anybody, but just because, the person's soul is troubled, and then they can go in the bitterness of their spirit. We have scriptures like that. And, sometimes they go in prayer to the Lord in bitterness of their spirit. The psalmist, he did that sometimes, but he knew how to encourage himself. Anna, the would-be mother of Samuel, before she received the blessing to have that child, she went in the bitterness of her spirit to pray to God, and so on. And so that kind of bitterness is there and spoken in the scriptures. And the root word that's used in this, mostly the same. But I don't want to talk about that kind of bitterness. The one I want to talk about is the one that's caused by anger towards someone else and unforgiveness. And that when it settles in, it creates, this state of bitterness in the soul and in the heart towards someone else. That's the one I want to talk about today, and the effect of it and what it does, And bitterness is a killer. Let me just say that right away. You cannot be in the realm of the spirit when you are walking in bitterness. You just can't do it. You may be praying and speaking in tongues even, but it'll be all empty barrel making noise. If we walk in that bitterness, the root of bitterness sets in. Bible says it will trouble even your own very soul. From people that walk in the gall of bitterness even. I mean, it's become like, like bile, I mean, it just sets in there, and it becomes like even a cancer. And, people can get ulcers, all kinds of things just from bitterness and so on. So let's just take a look at a few things that the scripture says. First, we will look at God's forgiveness for us. That's the model. Anything that we want to learn or become, we got to look at how the Lord did it. So to give us, an example and a foundation. Like I said, if God didn't forgive us, we're lost. and then we're going to also talk about release. What that means. When we say, sometimes people say, I forgive you, but they don't release them, and they still continue in bitterness, really. When we do forgive somebody, this is just a high level summary, and then I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you. And then at the end, I'm going to tell you what I told you. So right now, I'm just telling you that even this bitterness, unforgiveness, and so on that we're going to talk about can really destroy a soul. The soul that is harboring that bitterness and unforgiveness, they get the, the brunt of it, really. Because God wants us to get that out of our system. You know, but if we say we truly forgive someone, then we ought to let them know. And there's power, a power of release, you know, the empowerment that it brings. We'll talk about that briefly and so forth. So let's look at how the Lord himself, God, you know, what he says for us. I'll just speak, you know, some scriptures on this subject. There are hundreds, literally. So I don't want to do 100 scriptures. Just speak a few here and there. But you know how it all started. The sin that came into the world through disobedience. Well, God had a plan. He knew about that, that he would come, and so he had a plan. He had a plan not only for our forgiveness, but he had a plan for our redemption, which is really a release, to release us from that. He had a plan. And in some scriptures, we see that he actually talks about his forgiveness. The way he forgives our sins, and so on and so forth. And let's read just a few. Here is an assurance and the state, the end state of the man who is forgiven. Now, again, this is important for us to know that when God has forgiven us, then we need to move on and don't stay in the place of unforgiveness within yourself. You know, sometimes people can't even receive God's forgiveness. The devil tells them, well, you've done this, you've done that, you're condemned, you know, and you're doomed. Well, maybe so before Christ came. But, you know, Christ, he took care of all of that. It was a propitiation, we're told, for our sins. Romans 4 and 25 says that, you know, he was delivered up for our offenses. And he was raised again for our justification. Justification means cleared, you know, of all guilt. That's it. Acquitted, you know, declared. So, let's see the declaration of in Psalms 32, you know, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man, you know, or woman, this is non-gender here, whose sins or transgressions are forgiven. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if you carry that unforgiveness, well, the devil will tell you you're doomed, and you may actually end up in that state, you know, because that's what the devil wants. So you have to receive God's forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, remember, this one doesn't say that blessed is the man who covers his own sins. No, no. And anyone that covers his sins will not prosper. But he that confesses and forsaketh, he will have mercy. You know, but this one is saying it is the Lord that is doing the covering. It's not the person themselves that covering their own sin. The Lord is doing the covering. You know, and if the Lord already covered it, I don't even want anybody to go there and dig it up. Leave it alone. The Lord already covered it up. How did he cover it? With his own blood. Shed his own blood. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, now if we cover our sins, you know, we will not prosper. You know, according to Proverbs verse chapter 28 and verse 13. Whosoever covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, so we're not talking about a person covering their own sin. This scripture clearly says they do that, they will not prosper. You know, also in the book of 1 John chapter 1, we're told that, look, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. You know, but if we confess, not only confess, but forsake, as we see here, those sins, then God is faithful, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can read that in 1 John chapter 1. You know, read about his blood, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Father, let me read it from verses 6 to 10. If we say we have fellowship with him, actually, let me start from verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, 1 John 1 and 5, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, sin is darkness and leads to death when it is finished. And God is light and life, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, even as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. That means we have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship with the Father. You know, hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The fellowship he's talking about here is fellowship with God. That's what he says. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we are not doing the truth, but we lie. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with him and he with us. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about human fellowship at this point. Fellowship with the Father, you know, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, he's just talking about God here, will cleanse us from all sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's the thing. It's not just a matter of, okay, your sins are forgiven. No, that's there. Your sins are forgiven. You are released. And he also cleanses and gives us a new nature. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he's a new creature. You know, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the Lord, the process that he put in place from before the world began, while the Lamb was slain, before the world even began, Jesus came and did it, and he put it out there, and he said, it is finished. He not only forgives and cleanses us, you know, covers our sins, but he also gives us a new nature. So, you know, that's God's forgiveness for us. And so when we're talking about blessed is the man whose transgression is covered and so forth, it's not him covering it, his own sins. It's the Lord that covered it. Because the Lord said, I have covered it. I don't even want to hear it. It's over. It's done. Praise the Lord. You know, Psalm 103 verses 11 to 14 talks about how God has pity on us and how he forgives us and take away our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. So let's read it together. Psalm 103. We read from verses 11 through 14. Praise the Lord. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. See, that's all it takes. Fear the Lord. And run to him, never away from him. Run to him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, the devil would like to put that handwriting of ordinances due to our transgressions upon us forever, you know, because of his own fate. And he knows he's doomed, and he wants the rest of us to think we are doomed. And there is no redemption for us. But, you know, God didn't make any plan to save the devil. But he certainly made plan to save us. And not only did he do it, he came back. He came onto earth through the Son and did it. And he expresses it even here to us and throughout the scriptures that, look, I have removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Now, the east is on one end of the spectrum, and the west is on the other end, you know, and at that, as far as they are from one another, so far have I removed your transgressions, saith the Lord, you know. So, Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that is, you know, first we're looking at how God has dealt with us. Give us an idea of, you know, how we can deal with others as well. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 will tell us, you know, even the same thing. The Lord said he did it for his own sake. You know, that's how he did it. Praise the Lord. For his own very sake. That's how he did. I am he that blotted out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. You know, well, you know, so if you're remembering those things that God already blotted out, then you are walking contrary to God. God is trying to do something here and you are doing another thing. Or when others remember those things and put it on you, and you know, people are the ones, people will not forgive. You know, God has already forgiven. When you confess your sins, you come to the Lord, he forgives. And he said, I will remember them no more. But the devil will never let you get away from it. Neither we religious people. They will never let you get away from it. You will never hear the end of it. You know, but the Lord said, look, I have already forgiven you of all of that. You know, God doesn't deal with you in the past. He deals with you now. You know, from the place where you are right now, that's where God wants to deal with you. You come to a place of repentance and a place of, you know, a brokenness and contrition right now, the Lord will accept you. Hallelujah. Today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. Come to the Lord. Confess those sins and have a change of heart. Do a 180. Hallelujah. How can I do that? Well, the Holy Spirit will give you the grace to do it. You know, and the Lord said, look, for my own sake, I've done it. I've blotted out your transgressions. You know, I don't even want to remember that. Blotted means it wiped out clean. You know, hallelujah. Don't go digging it up again. He's gone. You know, it's gone. You know, that's something that song we used to sing when I was a young man. Says, you know, where are your sins? Well, you know, on Calvary, you know, has blotted them out and so forth like that. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he blotted out those sins. You say, where is my sin? They are on the cross, you know, under the blood, on the cross of Calvary and so forth. We used to sing that song. Well, the Lord has blotted it out. Don't go looking for it again. You know, walk in newness of life. Praise God. Now, here's a promise too, you know, that the Lord gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. He said, look, if my people who are called by my name, that's right, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. The Lord said, well, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. You know, it's a promise, you know, and I'll heal their land too, you know. So we'll forgive our sin. It's not just about healing your land. We'll forgive your sin too. If you confess and turn from your wicked ways, praise the Lord. So God has these promises and he has dealt according. I mean, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, but he has dealt with us according to the multitude of his mercies. Praise God. You know, so having seen that, well, let's see what, you know, the Lord also says that we should do. The Lord wants us to have that kind of relationship, you know, that the Father has extended to us, even to one another. You know, so now that we've seen how God has forgiven us, well, we ought also to forgive one another. And, you know, sometimes, you know, relationships are strained because of unforgiveness and bitterness, anger that is cannot be released. You know, people just don't, you know, let people go, let things go. Just harbor that and hold on to it. And it becomes like a cancer. And Jesus said, look, yeah, Jesus acknowledges that, you know, there are times when people will, you know, have aught against you. There are times when you may have aught against others, you know, and so on. These things happen. Human nature. The Lord knows that. And say, how do you deal with it? Well, let's look at even some scriptures of how, you know, he said we should deal with it. You know, we have a responsibility, every one of us, you know, to try to, you know, make reconciliation, you know. So, but some people, they just won't do it. Some people are so stubborn and so obstinate. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to do it, that they should forgive and let go. And we just hold on to what we think is our right. It's your right to be angry. And it's your right to be this. It's your right to remain hurt. Well, you know, you're not doing yourself any good. You're doing yourself a disservice, because you're putting all that anger, putting all that stuff in your system. You get it out of there. You know, it's a power of liberation that comes from forgiveness and release. Jesus said, look, there are times that you may even know that someone, you know, has ought against you. You know, I mean, not you even having ought. I mean, Jesus taught it both ways. When you have ought against your brother, he said, you should forgive them, especially when they come and ask. And then he said, when you yourself, you know, remember that someone has ought against you, well, do something about it. What should you do about it? Well, yes, that's a lesson that Jesus gave here in Matthew chapter 5. I mean, so let's read it. And this is a profound thing. I don't know anybody that actually does this, but, you know, it's a profound thing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 said, look, if you bring your gift to the altar, you know, many of us go to the house of worship and then they call for the offering and so forth. You know, when you are doing that, he said, even and there you remember that your brother has ought against you. Not even you having ought against them, but they having ought against you. He just said, look, hold on. Don't even give that offering yet. Go and make reconciliation with your brother. That's how important it is to the Lord. Yeah, it's not your offering. He doesn't really care about that. That's for your, you know, for the Lord to bless you. But, you know, there is something that can hinder that blessing, is what he's saying. The blessing that you would have received by putting your offering in the basket or whatever it is, you know, by giving your offering, that blessing can be hindered when there are broken relationships. And this, in this case, he's even saying that, look, it's your brother that is offended at you. And if you remember, well, the Holy Spirit bring it to your remembrance, then take care of it. Praise God. Make an effort to reconcile. It can be so powerful. You know, it can be so powerful. If I have time, I'll give some personal examples later. But, you know, it can be so powerful when you do that. You go and reconcile first, you know, and then come and give your offering. That's in the case of somebody even having her ought against you. And, you know, people carry this hurt along the way, the journey in life, carried with them everywhere they go. They are hurt. They are this and that. And they just live in that. And so much bitterness. And you hear people talk about it. Some people have been hurt even in the church. And that's all they talk about. You know, when I first came on this Clubhouse app, as I went from room to room trying to figure the app out, I would just hear of so many church hurt. And so many people didn't want to go to church anymore because they had been hurt. And they just carry this hurt with them. You know, well, they're not doing themselves any service. You know, they're not doing themselves any good. You know, offenses must come, you know, but, you know, don't let any man. Look, Revelation 3:11. Jesus made a profound statement there. Let no man take thy crown. You know, so now don't let any situation that anybody does to you cause you to lose your crown. Because if you come in this unforgiveness and bitterness of your spirit because of something somebody did and you can't release them, then it may cause you to lose your crown. And, you know, at the end of the day, who is the loser? You know, if you lose your crown because of unforgiveness, and bitterness and so on. So Jesus warned us about it. Revelation 3:11, let no man take thy crown. Let nothing that anybody would do to you cause you to lose your crown. You know, so let's be very careful. Now let's look at, you know, how Jesus thought about forgiveness. You know, and he said, look, the disciples said, teach us to pray. And he said, well, okay, this is how you pray. When you pray, ask that, you know, the Lord will give you the grace to forgive. It's basically the way I interpret that. But here's how Jesus said it in at least one place. There's a couple different places where it talks about this. In at least one place, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, in the prayer where he taught them, gave them an example of how to pray and so on, he said, look, after this manner you should pray, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses or debts. You know, another translation says trespasses or sins. As we forgive, you know, sins we forgive, just like we forgive, you know. And look, if this is difficult, then pray, Lord, help me, give me the grace to forgive. And that's important, but we're going to see it here. It is important for you to receive grace. Everything that we can do that pleases God is by grace from him. So the grace, you know, you need grace to be able to forgive somebody. And that's pleasing to God, for us to forgive. Praise God. But if you having difficulty with it, then you need to pray for grace. And Jesus said, look, you need to forgive them. Now look at verse 14 of Matthew chapter 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I mean, are you kidding me? Somebody argued this with me one time. They say, well, that's, you know, you can't say that. Like, well, I'm not the one that said it. You know, it's in the scriptures. You know, the, look, your own forgiveness hinges on how you forgive others. It's clear in the scriptures. We're going to see some other examples about that as well. You know, and he says, look, but if you forgive not, now this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that is a serious, serious statement. Some of us don't take these things seriously, but it's right here in the Bible. And, you know, it'll be very sad on the day of reckoning when you stand before the Lord to give account and the Lord says, well, you know, away from me, because your sins are not forgiven. You know, my goodness, I pray that that will not be my portion or your portion, you know, because, you know, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And a people say, well, but, you know, this, he said, you know, because you did not forgive, you know, and I already said in the scriptures that if you don't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. It's point blank in the scriptures. We cannot change the word of God, folks. And some people don't, they think they're going to change God's word. Well, you know, think again. His word is forever settled in heaven. And Jesus said, the word that I speak will judge. And this word will judge. I pray that, you know, we will not be on the receiving end of get away from me because you have not forgiven. That will be a sad, sad situation. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, he said. Now, Jesus, he told, I mean, several stories in the Bible that he told us about this forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, the most powerful place, I believe, in that scripture, the lesson that he gave on forgiveness. And he followed a question that was asked of him. So let's read it. You know, and in Matthew chapter 18, let's pick it up from, say, verse 21 or so. And Peter came unto him. Lord, he said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? That was a fair question. Because, look, everybody is dealing with this thing. I mean, this person keeps doing this thing to you. I mean, how many times do you have to forgive him for the same thing? I mean, enough already. I mean, they've done it. You know, you forgive them. They do it again. Forgive them. They do it again. Forgive them. They do it again. I mean, it's like, look, enough already. How many times? Everybody was dealing with this thing. Even the disciples were dealing with it. Peter asked Jesus this question. Yeah, is it up to 7 times? And the Lord is always quick to pick up on what you said. So the Lord picked up on what he said and he said, no, I don't say 7 times, but 70 times 7. Well, that's 490 times. My goodness. I mean, so let's think about that. I can count 7 easily, you know, of somebody that does the same thing to me, maybe 7 times. Maybe that's easy to count. But how can you count 490 times that somebody had done something to you? And Jesus said, yeah, you know, keep on forgiving them. that's really profound. You know, the bottom line is that, look, no matter how long it takes, forgive, you know. And then he told them a story. And this is a powerful, powerful story that he told, you know. But before I read that story, let me read another, you know, rendition of this thing. In the book of Luke, you know, chapter 17, let's see how, you know, the, you know, how the Lord it puts this thing out here, you know, to us. Now, remember, we're talking on the subject of forgiveness and the subject of how many times should I, you know, forgive, you know, my brother or my sister when they sin against me, you know. So here's another way that Luke reported something similar. This one was slightly different. Putting another angle here. He said, look, take heed to yourselves. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. You know, and if you repent, forgive him. And if you trespass against thee 7 times a day and 7 times a day, turn again to thee saying, repent, then thou shalt forgive him. So this is a slightly different viewpoint. You know, each time they come to you and say, hey, I'm sorry. You say, well, you know, you're always doing that. You're always saying that, you know. I mean, how long? You think just saying sorry? I've heard people say that. You think just saying sorry, you know, just makes up for it? Well, Jesus is saying, yeah, if they repent and if they say they are sorry, you know, then you should forgive them. That's what Jesus said. You know, but if we try to be wiser than the Lord, say, look, are you wiser than the Lord? Are you stronger than he? You know, the Lord said, look, this is what you would do. But if we don't do it, the Lord said, look, if he come to you and ask for forgiveness, then thou shalt. That's a commandment. It's like, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That shalt is a commandment. Thou shalt forgive him. It's a commandment. You know, it's an imperative commandment there. You must do it. You shall do it. You have to do it. No questions about it. Well, we don't do it. We just sometimes we say, well, you know, he's always saying that his mouth is so glib and so on. You know, I'm not going to have any part of that, you know. So, but Jesus said, you must forgive. Now, let's go to this story and read it. Matthew chapter 18. Powerful, powerful story. I'm going to bring out some few points. We know this story. Everybody does. You know, but let's take a look at this. And the reason that Jesus told this story was because of the question that was asked of him. So he said, look, okay, you know, here's what I'm going to tell you. You know, and Jesus always loved to bring out these lessons. Sometimes he'll tell a story. Sometimes he calls it a parable. Sometimes he'll just say something. So in this case, he's going to tell them this powerful and profound story. It brings out, you know, a point here. It is just amazing. So to illustrate the point of forgiveness that he was trying to tell them, that, look, you got to forgive, you know, not just 7 times. You got to keep forgiving. You know, so he tells this story. He said, look, there was a a certain master or ruler, you know, that had, you know, some servants and so forth, you know, and, you know, he began to tell them what they should do, how they should forgive one another. Actually, before I read that one, let me read a shorter lesson in this same verse 18 of how we should deal with another issue of trespass. I'm going to come and read that other story first, but let me read this one. You know, he said that, look, if your brother trespass against you, you know, so let's read about offenses before I come to that. The keynote story that I want to deal with today is that parable or that story that he told in Matthew 18. But before I get there, let me read this. Woe unto the world because of offenses. This is Matthew 18 and verse 7. For it must needs be that offenses must come. You know, you can't get away from it, Jesus said. You cannot get away from offenses. You know, offenses will happen. But how do you react to it? You know, that's the question. But, you know, the man who brings offenses, well, he will be judged. Jesus said, you know, woe unto the man that brings that offense, you know, and so forth. And then he said in verse 15, it spoke about a lot of things, but let me move through those, you know, skip those and come to this forgiveness part. If thy brother shall trespass against you, he said, well, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. How many people really do this? Well, some people are learning to do this. It's important, you know, but whether it works or backfires, that's not the point. The point is we obey his commandments. You know, the commandment is if your brother trespass against you, go and tell it to him between you and him alone, or your sister or whomever. Don't gossip it. Don't drag somebody else into it. Go tell it to them alone, between you and him. First, that's the first step. Now, if he shall hear thee, so Jesus knows that there is a chance that he may not hear you. It doesn't mean that I've seen it actually backfire. So, you know, but even if it backfired, you did the right thing if you did it. You know, Jesus didn't say that he's going to hear you. He said, if he hears you, and he may not hear you. He may blow up in your face. So what? You know, Jesus took a lot of shame and disgrace and beating and spitting on his face for us. You know, are you going to be able to take a little thing for Jesus just because he commanded you to do it? Can you do it? Well, absolutely. You should do it. So the commandment is go to your brother or your sister alone, one-on-one, and bring it out. It's what you did that offended me. You know, they may kick it back in your face, or kick it down your teeth, you know, or however they say. You know, but they, on the other hand, they may actually, you know, say, I'm sorry. You never know which way it will be. Now, Jesus says, if he shall hear thee and say, I'm sorry, then you've gained your brother. And you can see that a beautiful reconciliation will come. And then you hug your brother, you hug your sister, and, you know, everybody goes their merry way and it's all good. You know, now, on the other hand, it may not be all good. You know, and you are still bitter about it. You know, this is the way to deal with that bitterness. Jesus said, look, if he throws it back in your face and this thing is still hurting you, you are trying to get to the bottom of it, but they won't listen to you. You're giving them the one-on-one chance. Well, Jesus said, well, in that case, you can actually take with you one or two other people so that you can have the mouth, you know, Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses. So now you have two or three. But don't start with two or three when you haven't done the one-on-one. You know, many people complain about what people did to them, to somebody else, when they haven't even talked to that person that, you know, did the offense. So Jesus laid it out here. This is the way to do it. Now, if you take the two or three and they still don't hear you, the matter is still not resolved. I mean, it's like a child of Belial at that point. He's rude, obnoxious. He won't listen to anything, you know. Well, so then tell it to the church. You know, wow. You can see the progression. When you tell it to the church, Jesus actually recognizes here that there is, you know, there is authority. in the church. I'm saying it here. You tell it to the church. And if they will not hear the church, then at that point, you can say, well, let him be like a heathen, you know, and like an outcast, basically, because you've tried everything the Lord said to do. And the Jesus said, look, this was actually the context in which he said the thing that we always quote when we are praying. You know, this thing where we say, well, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you lose in heaven. You know, this was the context in which Jesus said it. It wasn't in the context of prayer, like we always quote. It works, but it was in this context that he actually said it. He said, look, if at that point you cut that person loose because you've done all the things that I tell you to do, you know, you cut it loose, heaven will sanction it as well. So this is a very dangerous thing for people to be obstinate and not repent when somebody is trying to make reconciliation. Be careful now, because by the time you go through, they tried to reconcile, you refuse. They called a couple other persons, they refused. They said it to the church, they refused. The church say, well, we're done. Now, well, Jesus said, well, then they're done. You know, because whatever you bind on earth is bound. You lose is lose. This is the context in which he said that. You know, so this is serious, you know. And he said, look, the reason I'm telling you that, you know, bring two or three witnesses or two or three people is because of what the scripture says. Bring two or three people because, you know, if there are two or three people, then, you know, everything be established. You know, so Jesus gives us the pattern of how we should do it. All right. That's all I want to say about that. But let me go on. And after Peter had asked this question about, you know, how many times do I forgive somebody? So this is the keynote lesson I want to bring today. Jesus tells his story. You know, he said, look, you know, there is, you know, he said, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king. So now he's telling you how the kingdom of heaven operates. So let's pay attention, because Jesus is talking about the kingdom. And remember, that was his mission, you know, to bring the kingdom of heaven to us, you know, make us understand what it looks like. You know, so now Jesus is explaining it. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. Remember, there's always a king in a kingdom, you know, that would, you know, take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. My goodness. You know, he owed him 10,000 talents. And, you know, then he asked him to pay. And then the man could not pay. And when he couldn't pay, he was told him to be, you know, commanded that he should be cast into prison. You know, now I've looked up the word talent. There is no consensus in contemporary. You can Google it. There's no consensus in it. You'll find all kinds of things. Some people say $1,000, some people say $30,000, some people say all kinds of things. I mean, it's, you know, how much is a talent worth today? I mean, basically, it's a lot, because you can, there's so many articles that you can find that tells you it's thousands of dollars. It's one talent worth today. You know, so it could be a talent of silver, it could be a talent of gold. Now, this man, let's just say he owed $100,000 and he couldn't pay, you know, and he was instructed, I mean, the king gave commandment to cast him into prison. And then he began, you know, to beg. And then, well, okay. When he could not pay and began to beg, the Bible says the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. See, this is the release, the losing. Now, I'm going to talk about release briefly at the end. The losing, he loosed him and forgave him all the debt. And so the man was happy. Now he's free. See, he's free of that burden, the weight of owing so much. But this same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now let's just say 100 pence, you know, equals to $1. And let's just say 1 talent equals to $1,000. I mean, this man owed so much compared to the so little that was owed against him. You know, but he didn't have the same kind of compassion. He said, look, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at him and at his feet and besought him, just like he did. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not. You know, but he went and, because he had money, you know, got him thrown into prison till he should pay the debt. And I've often wondered when I read this story, I'm like, when the man is free and he cannot pay, how in the world is he going to pay when he's in prison? You lose all civil liberties when you are in prison. You can't even earn any money or do anything meaningful. So the man would rot in prison forever, basically, is what it is. And so when all the other fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and very angry that such a thing should be. I mean, so they went and reported it to their Lord, all that was done. And then the Lord, he called the servant and he said to him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of all thou debt because you asked of me. Shouldn't you therefore also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now listen, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this. So this is serious. Now, you want to make it into that kingdom? Let's pay attention to this. You know, the Lord was now wroth with him and delivered him to the tormentors. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Tormentors. You know, well, maybe some people are tormented because of unforgiveness. You know, tormentors. Until he should pay all that was due to him. He's not going to be able to pay because he owes so much money. And then Jesus wrapped up this lesson by saying, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. What did this man do? Well, he rescinded the forgiveness and the release that he had initially extended to the wicked servant. It was rescinded. And the Lord is saying here that, look, my heavenly Father will do the same thing to you if ye do not from your hearts truly forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our keynote story today, and it is so profound. And we need to meditate on this. If you do not forgive, Jesus is saying the forgiveness that God already granted you can be rescinded. And you might be thrown back into the camp of tormentors. Ladies and gentlemen, well, like I said, somebody argued this scripture with me one time and said, well, that can be the case. Okay, well, maybe and maybe not. Are you willing to take the chance that that is not the case, given that Jesus was the one that gave this lesson and said that the kingdom of heaven is like this? So I'm not willing to take that chance. I'm going to try to forgive everybody just like I was forgiven, so that my forgiveness can be assured. You know, you make your forgiveness sure and steadfast by forgiving others. You ensure that you do not lose your own forgiveness by making sure you forgive others. Now, where did our forgiveness come from? Well, it came from the work on the cross. He already did it. Are you saying that it is then possible to lose all of that because we turn around and not forgive? Well, you want to take the chance to find out whether that's true or not? Yeah. Who is stronger than the Lord Jesus to call him a liar? When he said something, are you going to now say that Jesus was just goofing off and just playing with words here and he wasn't meaning? Remember, not one word or jot or tittle will fall to the ground, Jesus said, and it'll be fulfilled. He said this thing and it'll be just like it. Now, the problem is that many of us read many things that Jesus said in the Bible and we believe them. We believe some of his parables. We like them. We shout about them. We rejoice in them. We even use them to preach. But there are some things, hard things, that Jesus says that we don't like. And so we try to throw them away. That's not the case. That's not what he meant. That's exactly what he meant. You know, so let's be careful now. Now, true forgiveness also means release. You need to release them. Let them know that they are forgiven. Don't just do it in prayer. That's not enough. You just say, well, okay, I forgive him. I pray to them. And then when you see them, you don't even greet them. You know, you don't talk to them. I mean, you carry a chip on your shoulder, but you say you've forgiven them. How are they in the world going to know that you forgive them? That's where the release comes. Let them know that they are released. Praise God. It's so powerful. It's so liberating when they can know that. And we have relationships, you know, marriages that have been broken, ruined because of unforgiveness. Father, son, mother, daughter, father, daughter, relationship, all these things ruined because of bitterness and unforgiveness. You know, and if one party forgives, the other party must receive it in order for it to work. But also let them know that you're forgiven and release them. You know, and it'll be a shame, you know, well, actually more than a shame. It will lead to weeping and gnashing of teeth if we lose our crown because of bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, the root of bitterness, we are told, well, it will trouble you. So don't do it now, you know, and in fact, let me read a couple of scriptures to us. In John chapter 20, verse 23, again, Jesus talking about if you forgive someone anything, they are forgiven. But if you don't, then they are not forgiven. And that's a problem. If you are the reason why someone's sins are retained, then are you the one that's going to send them into the blackness of darkness forever? You don't want that on your head. Because Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And if you retain, then they are retained. So, you know, you better release the person because you don't want to send someone into blackness. You don't want to send them away, you know, like that. Because if you do, I'll come back on you, you know, because the same measure that you meet shall be measured to you again. Jesus said it. You know, so let's be very, very careful. Now, there was a man that Paul called him. He said, I see that, you know, there's a, you know, well, the apostles, you know, the Peter and the rest of them, you know, they said, look, you know, there's something in the gall of bitterness in Acts chapter 8:23. You know, you remember how Philip had gone into Samaria and preached and done all these other things, you know, and so forth. You know, Peter was talking to this man, Simon, you know, that wanted to buy the Holy Ghost with his money and so forth. And he said, look, you know, I perceive you are in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of iniquities. You go, you know, this is set in his heart. This is the other kind of bitterness that I said, you know, set in their heart and it lead them into destruction. You know, we don't want that. You know, we don't want bitterness. We don't want the gall of bitterness. We don't want the root of bitterness. It will sprinkle, you know, forth and, you know, trouble us. Scripture talks again also about, you know, the root of bitterness. You know, there are many places that scripture talks. So before I read that, let me just read a few more places where we're giving instruction on how to forgive. Romans chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. These scriptures are throughout the Bible and God wants us, you know, to forgive. And bitterness and cursing should be out of our lives. He said, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. Well, you say, I forgive, but you didn't forgive because you did not release them. You know, the poison of apps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know, bitterness, when it's in the mouth, the Lord is condemning all these things. He says, it's just like someone whose feet are swift to shed blood. Bitterness and these things is just as bad as shedding blood. The scripture is saying here. you know, and it will lead to destruction. You know, and if they say they have known the way of peace, they are lying, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. If you have the fear of God, well, then you will do the things, you know, that Jesus said we should do. Praise the Lord. These are the things that are pleasing. And not only that, is that pleasing that are also commanded of us to do. Okay. Here are a few more scriptures that I want to quickly read. In a book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1 and 7. Is again, you know, this is what Jesus did for us. And this is give us, you know, an example of what we should do for others. You know, the Bible says that in Christ, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his own glory. So if the Lord forgave us, then we also should forgive one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32. This is one of the very, very powerful scriptures, you know, about on this subject. Ephesians chapter 4, you know, and verse 31. He said, look, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So on the one hand, put away bitterness, put away wrath, put away anger, put away evil speaking. On the other hand, you know, put on, you know, bowels of mercies, forgiveness, you know, forgive one another, even as Christ, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So even so, you should do and forgive one another as well. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Pretty much talks about the same thing. I just want to give you some of these scriptures, you know, just so how you have them for reference. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, you know, let me start it from verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have aught or a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, these are point blank commandments, you know, that we should forgive. Praise the Lord. So let's be sure that we forgive one another. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. You know, again, you know, see that you render not evil for evil to any man. You know, this is the reason, this is what's behind bitterness, is rendering of evil to evil. You're going to get your own back. They did this, I'm going to do it to them also. You know, the Lord said, look, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Leave that one alone. But people won't do it. You know, render evil for evil. He said, don't do that now. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and even unto all men. You know, follow that which is good. Don't do evil for evil. You know, those bitterness leads to that. You know, and people are bitter. You know, did something to you, you're going to do it to them also. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, it's not even Christ-like, you know, it's not a Christ-like character. So let's get away from it. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to round this up here. Hebrews chapter 12, you know, verse 15, again, talking about, you know, bitterness and root of bitterness and what it can do, how it can defile a person. He said, look, looking diligently, lest any man, you know, fail of the grace of God. Now, this is the grace of God that brings us to the place of being able to forgive. But if you can fail, you know, lest any root of bitterness springing up or trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, when we are defiled, that's an unclean state. And that's not going to be joined with the Lord. Nothing defiled will be joined to the Lord. And this scripture is telling us that the root of bitterness will defile you. You know, anybody that is defiled through the root of bitterness cannot be joined unto the Lord. And in that state, when we are in that state of bitterness, we have done it, we enough realize that we are already defiled. You know, and so you may be praying, speaking in tongues, that you are in a state of defilement, and it's just nothing to the Lord. You know, those things, prayers, those things, whatever at that point has no value for the Lord because it is defiled. You know, therefore, it's a cleanse your garments. Hallelujah. You know, bring all of that to the cross. Trust the Lord for grace to help you to forgive and to get rid of the bitterness. Did you know that this man Esau, we are told, he lost his birthright, you know, and he was bitter the rest of his life. Well, the scripture is saying, don't do it now. Don't be like that, you know, because enough time passes, just like Esau, you know, he found later no place of repentance, even though he was crying bitterly, you know, it was too late. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap it there. That's our lesson for today on the subject of forgiveness and release. So when you release somebody, you let them know. Years ago, you know, I was faced with a situation that a friend did me some great evil. And, you know, I carried that in my heart for a while. I was so bitter about it. I told him about it, but he was arrogant, defiant, and everything. So anyway, I carried that in my heart for a while. And then one day, Holy Spirit dealt with me and said, you know, you need to release them. I say, okay. So we went to church that day. And after service, you know, we're coming out of, you know, the Capstone Auditorium. You know, it happened here many years ago. And I called the brother and I said, I release you of all of that. you know, and he was happy and we hugged. And he said, I release you. Little did I know that that was the last time I was going to see that brother. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. You never know when you have the opportunity to do it. That was the last time I was going to see that person. It was a friend. It was a brother. The next time, the following Sunday, we didn't see each other throughout the week. We just saw at church. Following Sunday, he wasn't there at church. And everybody said, this brother never misses church. What's going on? You know, by the time they went and looked for him, he had been dead for several days in his apartment. My goodness. You know, and it's happened right here in Phoenix, Arizona, years ago. And when they called me, oh my goodness. In fact, when the police got there, they found nobody could. They wouldn't let anybody in. They called me because they found my name and address or something on his driver's license or something. And my goodness. I mean, I wept like I'd never wept. And I was thinking, I mean, can you imagine if that brother died and I never released him? Do you know it will be on my head for all eternity? Because the Bible says, look, if you do not remit their sins, then they are not remitted. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, release him from it. I walked up to him after service that day and said, brother, I release you from all of that. I used those exact words and we hugged. And I did not know that that was the last time I would see him, lay my eyes on him. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you never know when the Holy Spirit is prompting you. You better do it. Because if he had gone to his grave and I never released him, it will be on my head. Because I did not release him. See? And I have no chance to release him again because he already left. You can say, well, I forgive him. No, but you did not release him. And he would carry that burden to his grave. And then you also will be guilty of that unforgiveness. It will be on your hands. The blood will be on your hands. Now, so there you have it. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, every one of us here this morning. Don't be arrogant. Do it. You know, if there's anyone that has ought against you, Bible even say you're not the one, but you know they hurting, go and talk to them. And it's a powerful release I can bring. One more story I will tell you quickly. Many years ago, I noticed that a brother, when I greeted him, he just wouldn't respond. And he had this cold shoulder. I mean, he'd walk around, greet everybody else, we'd meet in parties and so forth. I would talk to him and he'd just walk away. And I'm like, I mean, we were not close, but he was just a brother. You know, but I didn't know what I did to him or didn't do. You know, so one day he did that again. And I just walked to him. I said, hey, brother, I mean, what's going on? I noticed that when I greet you, you just give me the cold shoulder. And, you know, you talk to everybody, you greet everybody around me. But when I greet you, you just do like this. I mean, what's going on? And he told me something that my mouth just dropped. And this had been for years, you know. He said, well, you know, he told me what I did, which I didn't even know I did. He said, well, one day, you know, I called your office. You hung up the phone on me. And because of that, it was so bitter. And he carried that. And I'm like, I had never talked to him on the phone in my office. I don't know who hung up him. It definitely couldn't have been me. But you know, the devil plays those tricks. And there was no way in the world that he would have called me and I would have hung up on him. At least not knowingly. But he didn't call back and he didn't ask me, why did you hang up on me? For years, he just carried that thing. I don't know how much it was eating him up inside of him. But, you know, I noticed that he had hurt. So I try to do what the scriptures say. Hey, look, brother, what is it? Why are you acting this way? And when he told me, you know, I just apologized. I said, well, I don't know if I did that. There's no way in the world that I would know you would call me and I would hang up on you. Why? You know, and I said, well, I don't know what happened. Well, what made you think I did? But if you think I did and made you go like this, the bitterness of your spirit, well, I'm sorry. I apologize. And we hugged. And then everything melted after that. But can you imagine carrying that thing like that? You know, just look. And when you do that, your prayers are hindered. You know, and people don't know it. You know, we just go about thinking that we can make the rules on our own. No, the Lord set the rules. We need to follow. And it will be well with us if we do. I'm going to pray over the room now. I'm going to leave it there. You know, but I pray that you will receive grace to forgive. And I pray also that you yourself will receive forgiveness from God, the grace. There was a man that received redemption at the last minute on the cross. You know, he received it, reached out, said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Lord said, yeah, absolutely. You know, today, you know, and the Lord gave it to you and the man received it. Hallelujah. Now receive the grace of God. Whom God has forgiven is cleansed. Jesus told Peter, who is washed is washed. You're cleansed, you're cleansed. He told a woman in John chapter 8, he said, go and sin no more. When they brought her in the middle of adultery and all that. So anyone condemned you? Said no. So well, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. The Lord gave us a second chance to clean up our lives and go and sin no more. Receive it. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. When you confess your sins to the Lord, you are forgiven. You're clean. Hallelujah. It's no more, you know, unclean what God has cleaned. God told Peter that. Never you call unclean what the Lord has cleaned. In Acts chapter 10, he told him that. Because Peter said, well, no, I'll never touch unclean. He said, look, God is clean. Don't call him unclean. I was even talking about the relationship of God with the Gentiles. So when God has cleaned a person, don't you look down on them now as unclean. Because you never know. The Lord already cleaned them. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to pray over you and in the room here. And remember, when God comes into a life, he turns it into holy ground. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses, he was standing right there. And when Moses looked around, all he saw was dirt and bush and rubbish on the ground. You know, but the Lord said, this is holy ground. It's holy ground because my presence is here. Hallelujah. 1 minute ago, it was dirt, it was bush, it was rubbish on the ground. But the moment the glory of God came onto it, it became holy ground. Ladies and gentlemen, your life is now holy ground. What was then, that was then. God has forgiven you. This is now. And when the devil brings that up, you say, well, that was then, but this is now. Well, I might have been trash back then. I might have been rubbish. I might have been bush and all these things and so forth. But now I'm holy ground because the presence of God is in my life. That's the way you should be. Hallelujah. And then you turn around and extend the same grace to somebody else. Father, may we receive grace in our hearts to receive truly your forgiveness and to have a true 180 turnaround in our lives. And may we receive grace to also forgive and release others. Those who have done personal things against us, that we may receive grace to forgive them. And those who have even, you know, done things in the ministry or whatever, the religious systems that will hold things over people's head forever, may they have the knowledge today. If anyone listen to this, know that the Lord has spoken to you and that you must release them. Don't let them carry that burden. Release them because they, you know, they turn their lives to Christ. They're now holy ground. Don't look at them as rubbish and trash anymore. Glory to God. And may we truly forgive everyone, our brother, their trespasses from our heart, that we also may receive forgiveness. I pray against the spirit of defiance, that we will not defy the word of God. You know, many people are guilty in this area, especially in this area of forgiveness. They'll never do it. They say, well, I'll never forgive that person. I can't forgive. Well, if you want to be like Christ, you better do it. If you want a place in the kingdom, a seat on the table, you better do it. Otherwise, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you of your own trespasses if you do not truly forgive others. We thank you, Lord, for this lesson today. Give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.